These homes are furnished with everything that is suited to make the inhabitants happy and contented, and not one element of inharmony has any abiding place therein. Every home has its library, and the most beautiful furniture and paintings and wall coverings, and also rooms that are devoted to the various uses that a spirit may need them for. The music is sublime beyond conception, and there are all kinds of musical instruments which the spirits know how to play, and, as you may not suppose, every spirit has the ability to sing. There are no voices that are out of tune with the surroundings and with the other voices. Every spirit has music in his soul, and every spirit has the vocal qualities to express that music. Couches for repose are provided and running fountains and beautiful flowers of every hue and variety, and lawns the most beautiful and green. Trees are in abundance and are planted in the most artistic manner, so that they are in harmony with the surrounding landscape. And the light that comes to our homes is of such a kind that I cannot describe it, and can only say that with it and in it are the most soothing and wonderful influences that spirits can conceive of. All these things and many more are provided by our loving Father for the happiness of His children. But above all is this, the wonderful love of the Father, which is always with us, and which fills our souls to overflowing, and keeps us in one continuous state of happiness and peace and joy. All these things are freely given to us, and with them the knowledge that we are a part of the Father's divine being, and have, beyond the possibility of losing it, the immortality which Jesus brought to light when He came to earth. I have been in these heavens many years, and know whereof I speak, and when I tell you of these things, I do so that you and all mankind may know that these delights may be yours and theirs, if you will only let the divine love of the Father enter your souls, and take complete possession of it. Well, as to our social enjoyments, we are so loving, one to the other, that nothing arises, as on earth, to cause one the slightest jar in our wonderful harmony. We visit one another and give our experiences of the love life that we lead, and have music, and interchange thoughts about our continuous progress, and our work in the spirit world. Every spirit in our sphere may visit every other spirit, and know that the door is always open and a warm welcome awaiting him. I cannot tell you of all these wonders because there are no words that will convey our meanings. The Paget Messages 1915. Your capacity to understand is limited by your mental boundaries, and hence, I am at a disadvantage. But this I can tell you, and that is, that someday, if you get the divine love in your soul in sufficient abundance, you will see and understand for yourselves what God has in store for you. It was truly said, that no eye has seen, or mind conceived, the wonderful things that await the true child of the Father. Question: there are no streets of gold or walls of jasper, or any of these material things that John made use of in his apocalypse to describe the city of God. They were merely used as symbols, but they did not express the wonders of our homes. I will not write more tonight, but will come again sometime and tell you of things that are of more importance than a description of our homes. With all my love, I'm your brother in Christ, Samuel. I am here, Jerome. I came to tell you that I am an inhabitant of that kingdom which Samuel has so adequately described, and that is the kingdom of Jesus and, of course, of the Father. You may not know anything about me, but I was canonized many centuries ago by the Church, because it thought that I had done the Church so much good by my writings and discourses on things religious. But I must confess now, that when I wrote, I expressed as truths many things which I now see were not true, and I would like to be able to correct all these errors in my writings, but I cannot. So I will tell you in a few words that the truths of the Master, which are the truths of God, must not be sought for in my writings, or even in those of his disciples as contained in the Bible, because of the many errors that therein exist, not because the disciples and those to whom they conveyed these truths did not write them correctly, but because the Bible, as now written, is not the same in many important particulars, as what the disciples wrote. And hence Jesus, knowing this, is prepared that the world shall receive these great truths again through his written messages. I am trying my best to help the cause which he is advocating, and am one of the spirits behind you who are trying with all their spirit powers to direct you aright and enable you to receive the truths. I am in a celestial sphere very high up in the heavens. I cannot otherwise describe its location. These spheres are not numbered after the first few, because then the interval ends so that there are no lines of demarcation. But I am not as high up as other disciples and many others who are followers of the Master. The ancient spirits, such as Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, are in higher spheres, but they are not so exalted as are Jesus' apostles and disciples, and, as I am informed, many spirits who came to the spirit world since Jesus came. I will not write more tonight, but will thank you, and say good night, Jerome. August 20, 1915. I am here, Paul the Apostle. I merely want to write about the truth of the new birth, because I speak, or rather it is written, that the blood of Jesus saves men from condemnation, and sin and death, which is not true, and I never wrote such declarations of what purports to be true. Jesus did not save men by his death or sacrifice, and as I am informed now, and learned when on earth, he never claimed that his blood or sacrifice saved men. And I hardly see how that could be so, because the blood did not have any efficacy to affect the condition or spiritual development of men, and his death could not help men to become redeemed from any condition of evil or defilement that they might be in, and, hence, there can be no possible connection between his blood or sacrifice and the condition of men, whether good or bad. I know that it is claimed that the blood of Jesus tended to appease the wrath of God towards men as did his death, but this presupposes that God had a wrath against men and that only blood and death could satisfy it. What a barbarous assumption! God was never a God of wrath, but always of love, and men can come to him in reconciliation through love only, and not through any sacrifice. Jesus never taught this doctrine of sacrifice and does not now, but repudiates it and says that it is a doctrine that is doing his cause and the salvation of mankind a great harm. If men will only think for a moment, they will see that the only relation between God and man is that which arises from the soul's condition. God, as I said, is love, and for man to be at one with him, man must become love, I mean that his soul must be filled or permeated with this love to such an extent, that it will become impossible for anything that is not of love to be or remain a part of his soul. 188, The Paget Messages 1915. I do not mean that it is necessary for men to obtain this divine love in order to live and enjoy a happiness which is far above the happiness that they have on earth, for that would not be true. God has given to man a natural love, which, when enjoyed in all its intended purity, is sufficient of itself to make men comparatively happy. But this love does not make man a part of God's oneness, or enable him to partake of the divine essence of the Father. And this oneness is absolutely necessary for men to become reconciled to God as Jesus taught. So, while the large majority of men may never become reconciled in the sense that I have mentioned, yet they will be able to enjoy this inferior happiness in the spirit world, and to such a degree that no sin or evil will be permitted to mar it. A small minority will become reconciled to God and enjoy the superior happiness which such reconciliation will bring to them. They will be in their nature and substance like the Father, having his divine essence and partaking of his immortality. But this reconciliation can only be obtained by what is called the new birth, which comes to men not by reason of any power or effort on their part only, but by the operations of the workings of the Holy Spirit, the instrument of God in bringing about this new birth. And yet man has his part to perform also, in this great renewal of his spiritual being. He must open his soul to the inflowing of this divine love, and must pray to the Father for the inflowing of the Holy Spirit, and with his prayers, must believe that the Father is waiting to bestow it. Without the desire on the part of man to receive this divine love with prayer and faith, it will not come to him. For God never forces any human soul to a new birth against its will. I tell you this, because in my opinion this is the one great important truth of the mission of Jesus on earth, and the one that human beings should understand and try to comply with. I know now, as I never knew on earth, the full meaning of this truth, and I thank God all the time for his goodness and mercy. Only those who receive this new birth become divine angels, all other spirits remain mere spirits and subject to all the changes and conditions that belong to spirits, for there is nothing fixed as to those who may remain mere spirits any more than there was in the case of the first man and woman. We know now that changes may take place. 189, in the conditions of these spirits during the workings of God's plans. Many men may, even when they know of the things that I have written, be content to remain mere spirits and live their spiritual lives in the happiness which their natural love gives them, but it seems to me that all men, if they will think a little and understandingly, will seek for the greater love and happiness and immortality. I wanted to write this tonight, for I see that some of the teachings of my epistles may tend to lead men astray on this most important question as to what saves them from their sins and reconciles them to God. I will not write more tonight, but it will come at times and write you in regard to the various spiritual truths of this kingdom. I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Paul. I am here, Selim. I was the first Mohammedan sultan of that name, and I want to write you for a while, if you don't object. I have listened to what Paul wrote and some things that he said I do not understand. I mean the difference between the spirit who receives what he calls the new birth, and the spirit who has only his natural love. I know that I have a love for God and a love for my fellow man, and that I am very happy and do not desire greater happiness, and have surroundings that I cannot conceive can be excelled in their beauty and desirability. I know nothing of the other love, and fail to comprehend how there can be any other love than the one which God has given us. This love, in varying degrees we all have, and according as we possess it and have become freed from the sins and errors of life, I mean the earth life, are we happy? Our Prophet, may Allah bless him, never taught us of any other love than the one I speak of, and I don't believe he knows of any other love. But, I confess that my curiosity is excited to learn just what Paul means by his teaching of the new birth, and I shall make the effort to find out. Of course, I will have to have something more than his mere statement, or even the statement of all the Christians, to cause me to believe in the reality of this teaching, but I feel that there may be some truth in it, and, if so, I want to learn it. I will not write more tonight, but will, with your permission, do so later. I will say good night and God bless you, Selim. The Paget Messages, 1915. I am here, Aliabiz. Let me write. I have been listening to those who have preceded me, and I'm interested in what they have said. I know nothing about this new birth, and although I have lived in the spirit world a long time and in great happiness, yet I have never before heard of the teaching. I feel like the Turk, in that if there be any truth in this teaching, I would like to learn what it means. Of course, to learn I will have to make investigation, and to do so I must get a starting point, and if you can show me how I may come in contact with anything that may assist me in my investigation, I will be obliged to you. I am a Persian and was named Aliabiz. I lived 4,000 years ago, and was and am a follower of Zoroaster, the divine teacher of God. I am living in the highest spheres where the followers of our teacher live. We are not in the same heaven with the spirits of other beliefs, but have a heaven all to ourselves, although I sometimes come in contact with spirits from these other heavens. Sometimes I come in contact with the Christian spirits and talk to them, but we do not discuss our doctrines, because we each so firmly believe in the truth of our respective beliefs, that no good would come of any discussion as to their relative merits. I see a great many spirits around you, and some are very beautiful and bright, more so than I have seen before, and also seem to have much love in their being. Comment by Paget: she is here and says she will be pleased to show me the way to start in my investigations, and I will accept her kind offer. I will come to you again sometime and tell you the result of my investigation. Your friend, Aliabiz. August 23, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I am glad that you are feeling better tonight, and I see that you will soon be in condition to take my messages again, and then I will be ready to write you more of my truths. The messages that you have been getting from the spirits of those who have lived in the spirit world for a long time all go to confirm the truth of my writing to you and of the reality of the new birth, and the necessity of men getting this new birth in order to become immortal. So I think that these messages will work a great confirmation of what I write, and for that purpose you have been permitted to receive them and they to write to you. I thought, that considering the fact that men will be so loath to believe what I write through you, that it is wise that all these spirits should write. I will not write more tonight, but will have you prepare to soon take another of my messages. I will rewrite the message that I last wrote you, as it is not entirely satisfactory. Well, that is a subject upon which I will write you fully later, and I can only give you a satisfactory explanation of that question in a message that will require me to write longer than I can tonight. So, wait until then. I will stop now and say that you will soon be in the condition that we both desire you to be in. I give you my blessings and love. Your friend and brother, Jesus. I am here, the man who had the ponderous mind, as you called him, since writing to you last. I have had a great experience, and the result is, I see what a damn fool I must have appeared to all of you at the time I wrote, and because of the manner I wrote in, I now see that I was really an ignorant man, and that I was learned in only what I didn't know, that is, in my egregious conceit that what I didn't know was not worth learning. But since that time I have really had my eyes opened and my mental powers awakened to the fact that I was just on the borderland of learning what is here for me to learn. I have had the benefit of association with members of your band and with many other intelligent spirits, and I have learned that there are several spheres higher than that in which I live, and that they can be obtained only by progress in knowledge and mental acquirements. Some of these spirits have shown me truths of the spirit life that I never conceived of, and taught me laws governing this spirit world that I never heard of. I must have been very stupid as well as hidebound, and I don't wonder that you all, in a kind of derision, called me the man with the ponderous mind. I am now in the second sphere and am studying the laws of the universe and other needful things under the supervision of competent and learned teachers. And I have studied also those things which tend to enlighten me of things spiritual. Your friends who first took me in hand 190, the Paget Messages 1915, have helped me very much, and especially your grandmother, who seems not only so beautiful but to be so filled with knowledge. She is a wonderful spirit, and her teachings have helped me beyond all comprehension. I have not yet been able to quite believe what she tells me about the new birth and the divine love of the Father, although when I meet these spirits who claim to have received this new birth, I have to think that there is something in it, for they are all so much more beautiful and bright than are we who have not believed in it. I am seeking the light though, and that which will show me that there is some reality in this doctrine I shall not hesitate to seek further and accept it for my own salvation. I came tonight merely to tell you that I am no longer the man with the ponderous mind in my own conceit, and that I am a very humble student of the many things of which I had no knowledge or experience. I will not write more tonight, and will say good night, your friend, Samuel R. Smith. I am here, Judas Iscariot. I came tonight because I want to tell you of just what my condition and expectations were when I betrayed Jesus, which resulted in his crucifixion. I was a very enthusiastic lover of the Master and believed thoroughly in his teachings and his power, and did not believe that the Roman soldiers could take him away from where we were, if we did not permit it to be done. As a consequence, I was anxious that Jesus should show his great power, and demonstrate to the Jews that he was a true Son of God, with power over men and devils. I never betrayed him for the money that I received, for it was not sufficient to pay for one moment of happiness which I have lost because of my act in betraying the greatest spirit in all God's kingdom. I see that you are too sleepy to write more tonight. I will come again and tell my story. So good night, Judas. August 24, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I merely want to say that the book you have been reading is one that shows that spiritualism is an established thing in this world of mortals. It is beyond doubt that spirits and mortals communicate, and that spirits know just what mortals are doing on earth and how to influence them in their loves and actions. 191. Well, that is the very reason why I am communicating to you these truths, for as you say, they were never before communicated to any mortal. Well, because no medium was fitted to receive them, and the world was not in condition to believe as it is now. All this was a part of God's plan to bring about a salvation of mankind. If these truths had been communicated at the time of the occurrence that you read of in that book, they would have been received with incredulity, even by the spiritualists themselves, And so the date for the communication of these truths was postponed until we saw that mortals were ready to receive these truths, which is now. Question: I have read some of it, and it is more the imagination of spirits who attempted to impress the believers in spiritualism with the idea that it was true and contained a true account of the creation of the world since, but it is not true, and has never been received as true by the people, and will not be so received, but it will soon be forgotten. My writings will contain only the truth, and those truths must be received and accepted by men, for in them is the eternal happiness or otherwise, for mankind. So you need not fear that they will not be received. The power that is behind the present moment to spiritualize the world will not fail, and it will be accomplished through my messages which are being delivered through you. You will not pass over until my messages shall be fully declared to the world, and neither will your mental faculties be impaired, but rather increased, and with all this will be given you power to do many wonderful things which will cause to think and believe in what you may give to the world as truth coming from me. I cannot write more. Your friend and brother, Jesus. I am here, John. I merely want to say that what the Master says is true, and will soon triumph, and you must believe, for faith is a wonderful help. I know that it seems a long way off to you before you will get in condition to do these things, but it will not be long, for all the powers of our celestial spirit world is working to bring this about. I am with you very often when you are least aware of the fact, and so are many others. Question: Well, he is subject to the same laws controlling communications that the rest of us are, and the powers had left him when he so stated. It is nothing that you should be astonished at, because, the Paget Messages 1915, you will find in the future that many times this power will exhaust itself. You must not think that he is infallible in these things which pertain to the working of the laws governing the communications between spirits and mortals. We are all subject to them, and sometimes conditions arise that prevent the continuance of communications. Yes, it is so, and you must not let the fact disturb you. I will stop now. Your brother in Christ, John, the Apostle. I am here, Luke. I merely want to add my testimony to that of John, and to tell you that you must not doubt that the Master wrote you just because his powers to do so became exhausted. I will not attempt to write more tonight. No, the Bible is filled with errors. I never wrote many things which are credited to me, and sometime I will tell you of them in detail. I will keep my promise. So good night. Your brother in Christ, Luke. August 28, 1915. I am here, Luke. Well, I came to tell you that you are not in such a condition of faith as will enable you to take my messages in a satisfactory way, and I will not write as I expected and give you some account of the errors and untruths that are in my gospel. I am the one who first collected the different writings or manuscripts of the history of the times of the New Testament and of the sayings and doings of Jesus, and compiled them in one gospel. The present gospel is not as I wrote it, for many things have been added and a number extracted from what I wrote and what the truths are. Tonight I will not attempt to tell you, but will come again soon. Question: I know, and I will tell you with all my emphasis, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, and the person of that name around whom the New Testament centers. He is the same Jesus, and waits to write through you his messages to the world. So you must believe and listen to what he says, and try to do your best in receiving these messages, for they will be the truths of God. I will stop now and say good night. Your brother in Christ, Luke. I am here, your Indian guide. I am not going to give you a treatment tonight, as you are not in condition. Take the pills and you will feel better tomorrow night, when I will treat you. Do not let me keep you writing longer, for you must stop writing now. Yes, I do. I have everything necessary. And I will succeed, as I know, in about 3 months if you sit regularly about twice a week. I think that you are in the right way to God's love, and will soon be in condition to do what the Master wants you to do. So good night. White Eagle. August 29, 1915. Amman. The first parent: You don't believe me, I can see, but I am whom I say, and want to tell you that I am now a follower of Jesus and a lover of God, and live in the celestial heavens far up near where the Master lives. I know it is hard for men to believe that I am the father of all physical manhood, and that I can come and communicate with mortals, But Jesus has rendered this possible in his opening the way for the higher spirits to communicate through you. You should feel specially blessed at having this great privilege, and feel that the Master has conferred on you a great favor, as he has. Well, I have never before come to earth to communicate with mortals, and, the experience being new, I find some difficulty in doing so. But I will try to write a few more lines. I and my soulmate lived in a paradise which God had given us, and were very happy until the great fall. We were so filled with the thought that we were all-powerful and all-wise, that we concluded that the obedience which God had required of us, was not necessary for us to observe, and that if we only exerted our powers, we would be as great as he is great, and would be able to obtain that immortality which he possessed. But, alas the day! We were mere creatures, although wonderful and beautiful, and we soon realized that fact. The disobedience was in not waiting for God to bestow upon us the great divine love that would make us like him in substance as well as in image. We were like him in our possession of souls and also in the possibility of obtaining the divine love. We disobeyed him in that we tried to make ourselves believe that we were as he was, and that we need not submit further to his decrees. We 192, the Paget Messages 1915, tried to make this belief a thing of reality and in our vanity tried to appear as gods, but as soon as we did this the scales dropped from our eyes, and we saw how naked and impotent we were. God did not drive us from his paradise, but the inexorable laws of our creation and of the workings of his will, showed us that no longer could we expect this divine love, which he said would make us divine. And so we became mere mortals, deprived of the potentiality of obtaining this divine love, and we had thereafter to become subject to all the appetites of the natural man and to work to satisfy these natural appetites. We continued to live in the same place as formerly, but no more could we be satisfied with the spiritual food that had supplied our wants and enabled us to subdue the appetites which formed a part of our physical being. The physical then asserted itself and the spiritual became subjected to it, and we became as mortals now are, and had to find our substance in Mother Earth. We were compelled to till the soil and earn our living by work. I mean we had to work in order to make the earth supply us with food for our physical wants. It was a bitter time of sorrow, but the law had imposed its penalty, and we were without power to relieve ourselves of that penalty, and had to live thereafter without the possibility of obtaining this divine love and of having our spiritual natures reassert themselves over the physical, and subdue it. When Iman and I were created, there were no other human beings living on earth, and none came there to live, until we had sons and daughters who intermarried and produced other sons and daughters. I cannot tell you how long ago our creation was, but many thousand years before the coming of Jesus. I will not write more tonight, but it will come again sometime and write. Your brother in Christ, Iman. I am here, Jesus. I was with you tonight and my spirit was in your heart to an extent that made you feel its presence, and caused you to suffer somewhat physically. It was there to tell you that I was present and that my love was helping you to get nearer the Father and his love. I know that the people who were worshipping me were not doing what I approve of or like, but their hearts were turned to God. And while they were making me the object of their worship, yet the Spirit of God was with them, and the workings of the Holy Spirit were in the hearts of very many 193, of them showing them the love of the Father and the truth of his salvation. They, of course, are mistaken when they talk about being saved by my blood, for my blood has nothing to do with their salvation, but as they have been taught this, I cannot expect that they will know the real salvation which the Father has provided for them. Sometime they will know that only the divine love of the Father saves from sin and error, and that not any blood of mine or death on the cross can save them. But, notwithstanding this false belief, these people in their prayers actually aspire for the love of God. And he knows the longings of their hearts and sends the Holy Spirit to fill them with this divine love which makes them become very close to the Father, and makes them happy. So, while, as I say, I don't like the worship of me, yet the truth of God's love enters into their souls and they become at one with him to the extent that such love enters their souls. I know that to you, with your enlightenment, it appears that they are making a great mistake in worshipping me and believing that my blood saves them, yet, You must understand that while they make such mistakes, yet they are receiving the divine love and that it is working to redeem them from their sins and evil lives. So let not this error in their belief make you think that I am not with them, or rather that the Christ Spirit is not with them, teaching them the way to the love of the Father and to the great happiness which that love brings to them.